We're going to look into part 11 tonight of Gospel Misunderstandings. And we've been going through and comparing the account of Paul's visit to, well, the whole surroundings, not just Paul's visit, but the whole experience that Thessalonica went through to get the gospel. And we've been comparing Acts 17 with 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3. And so we're going to start with this at Acts 17, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, well, they had had riots in Thessalonica, and for Paul's safety, they sent him down to Berea, and he immediately went into the synagogue and started preaching the gospel of God. And they checked it out in the scriptures and found it and believed it. But we get to verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica, and these Jews of Thessalonica, you know, there they are again. Troublemakers, aren't they? Or at least they're trying to be. They're trying their hardest. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. To go, as it were, to the sea. That sounds a little surreptitious, doesn't it? A little covert. In other words, Paul, look like you're going down to the docks. And then, you know, there's another plan behind it, though. Verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So now we come to the next verse, verse 15, and there's also something strange about the way it's written. Listen to Acts 17, verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and the strange part is a little further down, but let me just say, that statement ends with a colon, as if Paul had said, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and here's how it happened. In other words, it's not accomplished yet. That's the plan. That's the start of the plan. They had people to conduct Paul, and the plan was beginning. Okay, it's like the report of the entire trip will end in Athens, but that they didn't yet leave Berea for Athens yet. And it's very similar to what Luke said in describing Paul's trip to Jerusalem in Acts 18. You know, if you look in Acts 18, verses 18 through 22, thereabouts, Luke said he took leave of the brethren and sailed from thence into Syria. He took leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. Well, was Paul then in Syria after that statement? Paul was going through Syria to get to Jerusalem. But then in the next verse, in verse 19, Acts 18, verse 19, you see that Paul made stops along the way before he got to Syria, at least in Ephesus, before he was actually in Syria or Jerusalem. So in Acts 17, verse 15, Paul was preparing to leave Berea to go to Athens. Berea is north of Athens, near the coast of the Aegean Sea. And since Paul was avoiding those docks, as it were, go as it were to the docks, he apparently was going to go to Athens on a land route, which he could do. You know, he was being led by they that conducted Paul. In the verse it says, that's Well, verse 15 starts off, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a command, and so there's more that goes on before they leave here, he's talking about receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. And with all that in mind, before any of them actually left Berea, Paul gave the command, it was a command for they that conducted Paul, for whoever it was, to give this command to Timothy. And all three of Paul, Silas, and Timothy were leaving Berea. All three were meeting next in Athens. But Paul would get there first. And the route that Silas and Timotheus took would include the command that we read in the other section about these events. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. They that conducted Paul received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. And the command was to Silas and Timothy. And in that group, who was in a position to give commands? Paul. Paul gave a command to those who conducted him for them to give to Silas and Timothy, telling Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. Well, they were all starting out from Berea, and they were all going to Athens, so why wouldn't Silas and Timothy be traveling side by side with Paul on the route from Berea to Athens? And why did Paul have to tell them to hurry up, and he would wait for them at Athens? Timothy had been given a responsibility to accomplish, and it was before he would meet back with Paul at Athens. So Timothy had somewhere else to go that he had to go before arriving at Athens. Let's preview that charge that Paul gave Timothy and look in 1 Thessalonians, which we mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning, and here's the key, concerning your faith. There was something that they had to go through in the faith. They hadn't heard the gospel of salvation yet. By Paul, there in Acts 17, it quotes the gospel of God, but not the gospel of Christ. And you get to 1 Thessalonians 2, just the few verses before the what we just read here in 1 Thessalonians 3. In 1 Thessalonians 2, three times he states that what he preached to those Thessalonians was the gospel of God. And then he got run out of town and he couldn't tell them how to be saved. So he needed to be comforted about their faith. He said, I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And we find out, I think it's verse 5 or 6, how distressed Paul was in waiting. In other words, he wouldn't be distressed if he knew they were saved already. He had preached to them the gospel of God, sent Timothy to preach the gospel of Christ, gospel of salvation, and he was waiting eagerly in distress. The word distress is used there in one of the verses. I don't have it in front of me here, but to find out if they were getting saved or not, if they were believing the gospel that Timothy was preaching to them, the gospel that Christ had revealed to Paul, called the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins, so that if they would believe that he died for all their sins, they would be saved. They are saved, is the term Paul uses in Ephesians 2:5. different from anything that Israel uses. Israel's term is always shall be saved. Even back as far as Jeremiah 30, verse 7. They shall be saved out of it. So, after giving that command to Timothy to go and minister the gospel of Christ to those in Thessalonica, Paul was led to Athens by they that conducted Paul. They departed. And by the way, the Bible said nothing about the doctrine of those who conducted Paul in Acts 17, verse 15. But they had to be trustworthy. We know they were trustworthy. They could well have been some of those who were in Christ the vine before Paul was in Christ the body of Christ. And that gives confirming proof to disarm people who claim that God misspoke by calling those in Christ who were in Christ the vine, calling them the same as those who were in Christ being in the body of Christ. They're different entities. God, they're both, you know, God created them both. They were not the same group, though. So God gave the two groups different names. Israel and the little flock are never said to be in a body or to be a body. That's reserved for us, the body of Christ. So let's go on to the next. In Acts 17, we're going to verse 16 now. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. So he got to Athens and he was waiting there. That's the point. This is the rest of the verse, though. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And we're not going to go into that much here. We're following what happened with Paul and the introduction of the gospel to Thessalonica. That's what we're putting Thessalonica under a microscope, because it was dissected by God. It was separated out by these different events that made it the several parts of it visible. No sound? Oh, good. Okay. So we're going to go to the time period of Acts 18 now. This is after Paul's visit to Thessalonica, and this is actually at the time when he wrote 1 Thessalonians in Acts 18. We're going to see Paul's comments as he looks back at those situations in Acts 17 when he visited Thessalonica. And by the time that Paul had started writing 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, at the beginning of it, he had already learned things that Paul talks about throughout the epistle, information of what had happened, what had been reported to him by Timothy, etc., that he wrote about as late as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at the end of that epistle. He knew it all by the time he started writing that epistle. Especially he knew about the Thessalonians' reception of Timothy, ministering to them the gospel of Christ crucified for their sins, for our sins too. Paul knew about their response of faith to the salvation gospel that Timothy went back to preach to them. So let's go on to 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 18. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, now this is 1 Thessalonians 2, and he's talking about when they received the word of God, and this is before he tells about sending Timothy and him preaching the gospel of Christ and them believing it in 1 Thessalonians 3:1-7. So, but he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you also that believe. And that's a good verse for us too. You want God working in your life? It's you receive it as the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. Believe it. And there's a great principle to remember, whether you're in this study or other studies that we do or that you do on your own, whatever. If you're saved and you want to grow and come to the knowledge of the truth, which God says is the second part, the other part of God's will, receiving God's word causes it to work effectively, effectually in you as you believe it, as it was written, and applying it to whom it was written. In other words, don't go building an ark because Genesis 6:14 says, build thou an ark out of gopher wood. Go back a verse or two before that. It tells who was being told that. And we need to recognize who Christ was talking to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and study those and realize what the will of God is. But it's written to and about Israel. And our information was when he sent his apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, to us, to write epistles to us about our life, our gospel, how to come to God. And it's all in Romans through Philemon. We do need to study all the scripture, though. That's how we know about creation, the flood. That's how we know about the covenants, what's going to come on this earth after us, after we're taken to heaven to be with the Lord. All those things. That's how we know about the tribulation, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, that I quoted earlier. First Thessalonians 2:14, for you, brethren, became followers. Well, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians 2:14, he already knew what happened in 1 Thessalonians 3, that they received the gospel of Christ for salvation with Christ as their only Savior, exclusively believing the gospel of Christ. And you can see a hint of it here. Paul said that you received the word of truth, which effectually worketh in you that believe. They were believers. But he would not have known that until he got the information, which he received before he wrote Thessalonians. So, going back to 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God in Judea, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, don't let that throw you. Don't get thrown by that. Some people get thrown by it, but see what it's really saying. The churches of God were the scattered little flock. Paul is not saying that you become part of the little flock, did he? He didn't say anything about that. You became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Paul is not saying that they became part of the little flock. He's saying, well, the churches of God were in Christ Jesus. They were the churches that were formed from the scattered little flock. But as we showed before, they were in Christ the vine of John 15, 1 through 6. They were not in the body of Christ that Christ only revealed to Paul. So, again, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you, so he goes on to explain it, you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So there's two parallel situations there. This is the manner in which they were followers of the churches of God in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So it's in there in the verse already. I mean, we just have to believe the verse. You can see there the two parallel situations. Paul was saying that the little flock Jews in Judea suffered of the disbelieving Jews in Judea. Likewise, you believers, there in Thessalonica, you believers suffered like type things from your own countrymen around Thessalonica there, which would have been the disbelieving Jews in all the city around Thessalonica. Mainly it was the Jews that objected to hearing Paul say that God was going to save those who cursed, had been cursing Israel. Those alien Jews that were not bringing their tithes to the synagogues for the Jews. And so don't let that throw you, though. It's not saying that those in Thessalonica became part of the little flock or the one of those churches of God. The churches of God were in existence before Paul was ever saved as the first member of the body of Christ. So with that in mind, we'll hit the next Monday, I guess. Monday, what's about Monday? Oh, that's Labor Day. Yeah, we'll probably meet Monday and go take up the next part 12. That's all I've got for today. Different hope, different calling. That's right. Different hope meaning we're going to heaven, they're going to the kingdom on earth. God's earthly kingdom out of heaven on earth. And different calling, that's they're called. They're called either in circumcision or in uncircumcision. We all today are called in uncircumcision. But there was a time there in First Corinthians, written in Acts 19, that God was still calling into both. And my understanding, I don't know that there's scripture for it, but he was calling at least those who had already heard the gospel of the circumcision and hadn't responded. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, he's referring to those who, when he preached the gospel of God in the synagogue there in Corinth, they responded because they had been called into the circumcision. And he says, don't try to be uncircumcision if God's calling you into circumcision. Don't try to be... What should I say? I get them backwards. those that were called in circumcision were to stay that, not to try to become like us, like Gentile, like the uncircumcision. And those that were called in uncircumcision, like we are, were not to try and be... Well, today they call them Messianic Jews. Or, you know, there was one in the room as we began the study, and he or it might have been when E.C. Moore was teaching, and he left right away. He wanted his Sabbath rest. So, remain in the hope of your calling. Amen. Yeah. Okay. We're going to see if there are any questions. Otherwise, I've got a song picked out here.